I slightly oversimplified when I talked about how then I went to Doubleday and I was never anywhere else but Doubleday. Because one of the things that was great in my relationship and continues to be great in my relationship with Bill Thomas at Doubleday is that he's tolerated some of my eccentric small projects. You know, like okay, so now I'm going to stop and talk about myself some more. I'm just going to trust that this is okay. Once this strange thing had happened to the guy who expected to be out of print, that he was in print, and that I took an award for Motherless Brooklyn, and I was being taken very, very seriously, and I was like, ooh, big guy. I immediately had this yearning to like have a zine or do something that was small and ignominious and no one cared, and that would just be like a cult item working from the margins, because I had so much investment in that part of my own coming of age and my own appetite for cultural things that were hard to scare up, that weren't on the front shelves, but were maybe in the back shelves or only in a dusty box somewhere in the basement of the place. I just was always still needing to be attached to this feeling that I could work in a kind of a more skulky sort of way. So even while Bill was making my primary novels do marvelous things and find a readership, I wanted to write these little strange things that would still disappear, slip between slip into the culture from a shadowy, marginal place. And so I did that a couple of times right after Motherless Brooklyn. And you actually had the chronology very slightly wrong, because there was another tiny project was a novella called This Shape We're In, which is good. Yeah, they're flipped. But I did those two things in succession. I wrote a 50-page novella, which had no easy way to be published, either in a magazine or as a book, but McSweeney's did it as a book. And we'll talk about that. No, it's fine. I'll just mention them both, and then we'll get to that. And I did this series of collaborative short stories with my friend Carter Schultz, which were basically riffs on Kafka, mashups of Kafka and kind of American vernacular culture. So it was Kafka meets Frank Capra. You know, what if he'd lived long enough to come to Hollywood and become the screenwriter of It's a Wonderful Life? Or I did this thing where I smashed together the Kafka piece, The Burrow, with Batman and his Batcave. So it was like The Burrow was where Batman was hiding. And I rewrote all these Kafka aphorisms as if they were from Batman. So it was like, you need to do nothing but watch your police scanner and wait. And if you wait long enough, the Joker will offer himself to you. He will fall at your feet, twisting and howling and laughing, Anyway, so these were not things that were ready for prime time by design. And so Bill let me go to these tiny little publishing houses and do these funny little things. And I published the novella with McSweeney's when it was their third book. They were not a really big, credible publisher the way they are now. It was like a fun, after-school project. And this was similar. It was published in a limited edition by a press in the Midwest called Subterranean Books. And then Norton, that jacket we're looking at there is a paperback edition that was published subsequently by Norton. And, they're a major publisher, but it wasn't particularly ready for prime time anyway. And so it's not a... it just was the kind of book that should be found by the people who would find it. It would be silly to try to make everyone who enjoyed Motherless Brooklyn now pay attention to, collaborative short stories about Kafka and Batman. It's not going to work. So it would have been foolish for me or Doubleday or anyone to try to act as though one thing led naturally to the next. So it found its strange little place. I hope nobody... was too disappointed who published it. I'm really proud of it. The image is from the Orson Welles version of The Trial, which is, a precursor to my project. It's kind of a, what would you call Welles? It's sort of like, an overreaching middle-brow American vernacular artist tackling highbrow material like Shakespeare and Kafka. You know, that was his MO. So he fit with the project, and he was implicated. He's mentioned in one of the stories. And I love that film, but it has Anthony Perkins, you know, who is basically stuck being Norman Bates forever, but it has Anthony Perkins as Kay. So it's really funny if you think about it in a certain way. It's like the problem in Kafka's The Trial is, what was the crime of which Kay is guilty? Well, we all know what Norman Bates did. We saw it. He killed that woman in the shower.